Giving In, Giving Up. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Instant Illumination, Giving In and Giving Up. Yes, yes, yes. Whenever we give in to appearances, whenever we give in to something that's coming upon us that we think we have no control over, we've already given up and we have lost the battle. We have lost the joyous experience. Now, if we say battle, we have lost the opportunity to live in that magnificence. We've lost the opportunity to live in the wholeness and the purity and the joy. Who wants to lose that opportunity? Do you? Do you want to lose the opportunity to be yourself? Are you going to give in and give up? How many times have you given in and given up by feeling sorry for yourself? How many times have you given in and given up by feeling that somebody else is making something happen in your life and you have no control over it? How many times have you given in and given up on the very wonderful, fabulous dream that was too good to be true? How often have you given in and given up on those things? Maybe far too often. You think, maybe? Think about it. It's very easy when the going gets tough to give in and give up. It's very easy when things are a little challenging to give in and give up. It's very easy to think that it's too difficult. It's too much. I'm not prepared for it. I don't have the skill for it. I don't have the understanding for it. Everybody's against it. It doesn't have a possibility, not a prayer that it might work out beautifully and functionally and wonderfully for me. It's no gainer. No way. Well, are you giving in and giving up? But it's the logical thing to do, to give in and give up, because what else can you do? What else can you think about it? How else can you handle it? Well, people who give in and give up, they're losers. They're losers from the word go, because they've decided before they even exercise their genius on the challenge that they're facing that they're not going to do it. It will not work out. It will not be something beneficial to them. Are you aware how things can be beneficial to you? Are you aware how anything can be beneficial to you if you will just apply it? Just the exercise of doing something, of standing up for something, just the exercise of that principle, and whether it works or not makes no difference, but you're exercising the principle. You are. It's like exercising a muscle. You exercise a muscle, and the muscle doesn't do you a lot of good each time you exercise it, because it's beginning to hurt a little bit sometimes even. But the muscle doesn't do you any good as you exercise it, as you put it to work. The muscle only does you good as you continuously put it to work, as you moment after moment after moment after moment put it to work, and then watch the results. Someone says to you, I think it'd be a wonderful thing if your family could have this experience. What experience is that? I think it'd be wonderful if your family could have the experience of doing some nice things for other people in this world who are having a little difficulty. Well, we're not do-gooders. Well, I think it'd be a great experience. Now, I know that the family down the road, the husband has lost his job and the wife has been ill recently, and the children are struggling along with the household, and it's just very much of a challenge for them. Now, if someone were able to go over there and work with the children a little bit and be helpful to them, it might be something very wonderful. Well, I'm not a do-gooder. I don't go around the neighborhood doing these things. Well, why don't you try it? Why don't you try it once? Just give her a whirl. And so you go over to the neighbor's house and you talk to the children and you say, well, I understand your mother's not been feeling so good and that she's been in the hospital a little bit. Yeah, Mom's in the hospital now. Well, children, I have a family, as you know, and you play with my children, and I would like to be helpful to you, if I may. Can I come over and give you a hand a little bit here? What? You would want to do that? Sure. You're nice kids. I know your mom and your dad, and they're nice. Would you mind? Oh, not at all. But we got to ask Dad first. Okay. So the children call their father, who is at work, who is not at work, but they call him at work where he should be. And it's his last day, and they say, Dad, Miss Brown next door would like to come over and give us a hand because Mom's in the hospital and sort of guide us in doing things around the house a little bit. Is that okay with you? Wow. Thank you very much, Mrs. Brown. That's just wonderful. You tell Mrs. Brown that's wonderful. Put her on the phone. So Miss Brown gets on the phone and Mr. Jones says, well, Mrs. Brown, that's awfully nice of you. This is my last day on the job, and the company is making a lot of major changes, and a lot of us are losing our places, and I'll be without a job for a while. And we've put aside a little bit of money, but with my wife's illnesses, we haven't saved too much. But I thank you very much for helping, and you're very kind. Thank you. So, Mrs. Brown comes over and helps. But the first thing she does is she says to the children, let's sit around the kitchen table. And as they sit around the kitchen table, she says, now, what's your favorite drink? Do you like hot chocolate? Oh, yes. Well, let's all have a hot chocolate. And so they have a cup of hot chocolate together. And Mrs. Brown says, kids, this is what I tell my kids every day. I'm not trying to take your mom's place, your dad's place, or anything, but this is what I tell my kids. I say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. But what about when you're not feeling so good? Well, that's all the more reason to say it. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Well, gosh, Mrs. Brown, how can we say something like that when that's not what we see? Well, that's the time to say it. You say, I am a good sportsman, even though you're not the best sportsman, but you're working on it. Oh, yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. And so, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And the children say that a number of times. And then she says, now, the next thing I'd like to have you say, like my children do, I like me. I like me. Just say it. And as you say it, pretty soon you'll begin to like yourself, and you'll always do things that a person who likes himself would do. Yeah, okay. And the children say, I like me, I like me. Now, as we do the chores in the house today, say, I like me, I like me, I like me, while you're doing the chores. Well, all right. The children are very cooperative because they know Mrs. Brown does this with her children, and her kids are kind of nice. And so they figure, okay, we'll do what she says. And that day, as Mrs. Brown was helping the children do the chores around the house and make everything, the children were doing things and doing them in the way that they had been doing them without much guidance. And she said, now, when I dust the top of a table, I don't just give it a lick and a promise. I say, that table is where we eat. That table is where we sit and share love. I want every inch of that table to sparkle with my love. And the legs of the table, too. Oh, don't forget those legs, no matter what kind of legs they are. Polish them. And chairs, polish them. And the children are all working together, polishing the chairs and the table in the kitchen. And they're saying, I like me, I like me, I like me. And everybody is sort of giggling to themselves because they know they have done things that they didn't really like very much. But then they said, I like me. And pretty soon they're doing nice things. And they're beginning to do nice things for each other. And when the table and chairs are done, they look at it and they say, Mrs. Brown, that table has never looked so beautiful. It is wonderful. Oh, Mama's going to be so happy. And so then, Mom's not home and Dad's at work, and so she says, okay, let's have some lunch. Well, what about your kids, Miss Brown? My kids know how to take care of themselves, and they'll do just fine. And so she sets the table. And she sets the table with all the wonderful dishes and all the wonderful silverware. And they say, but Mom never lets us use the silver, and she never lets us use the good dishes. Well, this is a special lunch we're going to have today. And it's going to be a lunch of all only the best. Now let's take each dish, put tablecloth on first, put each dish at our perfect place, and the knives and forks and spoons right with them, and make everything like we're having a party. Oh, this is fun! And all the kids join in so happily and so joyously. And they're setting the table. And then Mrs. Brown says, you know, kids, the wonderful thing about a meal is you have a chance to share together your thoughts with each other. You have a chance to tell each other how wonderful you are, so that you look at each other and say, you know, you're wonderful. You did such a nice thing. You're so great. Now, while we are getting ready for eating, you think of things that you would want to say about somebody else, how wonderful they are, what they've done this morning as we've worked together cleaning the house and mowing the lawn and putting away things and getting things organized. But Mrs. Brown, if we do that, we'll be so busy thinking of things to do, we'll not be doing the things we should be doing. Oh, you could do many things at once, you can be sure. So you think about it. Now, get the table all set. So this table is all set. And the children come to sit down at the table, and they begin to eat before everyone's sitting down. And Miss Brown says, now just a minute. Mealtime is a sacred time. It's a special time. It's when we are all together and we say to each other, I love you. Okay, now let's all sit down, and let's all hold hands, and let's all say, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. And the children all join in because there's just no doubt about it. That's what they're going to do. And they say, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. Now, before we begin eating, we're going to take a moment. And each one of us are going to say to the person on your right a reason that you love them. Well, John, I like the way you're cooperating with Mrs. Brown. I love you. You're wonderful. And then, Susie, you set the table so carefully. Each knife and fork and each spoon you put so carefully by each plate. You have so much love there. And Arnold, you are such a good guy. You made sure that the tablecloth was put on perfectly and that all the wrinkles were out so that it wasn't wrinkled on top of the tablecloth. You made it so beautiful. Arnold, you did a good job. And they went around to each child, and each child said something beautiful about the other. And Mrs. Brown was the last one, and she said, boys and girls, I'm so proud of you. Your mother has raised you as beautiful children. Your father has trained you in wonderful ways of life. So, they eat, and they begin to gobble. And Miss Brown says, now just a minute. We're not here to be a bunch of turkeys. We're not going to gobble that food down. Now, slow down. Slow down. Now, let's take each morsel of food and eat it and chew it. And let's take the piece of bread that we're working on and chew it. 20 times or so, it doesn't matter, but just chew it. Chew it to get the taste of it, not gobble it down like a dog. Oop, down, notch. No, just chew it. And so the children are cooperative with Mrs. Brown because she is so lovely. And they chew their food. And before they know it, they've gone through their whole mealtime gently chewing and sharing and talking to one another and saying beautiful things about each other and saying what a lovely mom and dad they have, saying what a lovely home they have, saying how wonderful everything is. And when the meal is finished, they stop eating. And before they get up from the table, Mrs. Brown says, all right, now let's each hold hands again. Again, we already blessed our meal. Let's each hold hands again. So they hold hands. And then she says, this food was healthy for my body and is filled with love. Together, this food was healthy for my body and is filled with love. Because that food's in us now, and it's healthy for our body, and it's filled with love. Well, Mrs. Brown spent the rest of the day with the Joneses, and when Mr. Jones came home from work, Mrs. Brown was still there. And Mr. Jones looked at the house, and he looked at the children, and he looked at everything. He said, Mrs. Brown, you are an angel. This is how my wife always wants to have things done, but she just didn't have the energy to tell the children how she wanted it. I know Mr. Brown. I know Mr. Jones, Mrs. Brown said. I know how that goes. But I'll come by a couple more times if you don't mind. Oh, no, thank you so much. And Mrs. Brown said, just remember, we give in and we give up. And that's not what we want to do. We want to give our very best at all times and share our love. And you know, Mr. Jones, being with your family today was a treasure for me that I will treasure for a long time. And I'll be back. I'll be back to share some more. But I am so thrilled to have had this privilege with you and your family. We all can do things for ourselves and for others. And sometimes it's the simple little things. It's the simple sharing. The simple sharing of how wonderful life is. And that makes all the difference in the world. And that makes the only difference that there is in the world. It's a wonderful day. Mr. Brown, Mrs. Brown, Mr. Jones, and the children, they had a great time. They didn't give in or give up. They just gave out of the very finest that they are. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.